Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
That's the loudest I've heard you scream in a very long time.
The quality of the set was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is an interview episode with Ashley Moore. Ash runs Scare Directory, an awesome review website here in the UK. It started last season, but wow, did they start with a bang. They went to so many events, it's unbelievable. We thought it's perfect to chat about all the other content creators, the other reviewers. It's such a lovely world of podcasters, YouTubers and reviewers here in the scare industry. So we thought we'd get Ashley on the show to talk all about his love for scare attractions and how Scare Directory started.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hi guys, and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I mentioned in the intro, I am here joined with Ashley Moore from Scare Directory. Ash, how's it going?
It's going great, thanks. Thanks for having me.
No, it's great to have you on. I really, really do appreciate it. You're actually taking time out of work right now to come onto the podcast. So that's dedication to the scare industry right there. So first of all, I want to know more about you. Obviously, you sort of came onto the scene, like, you know, kicking and screaming last year with the amount of reviews you guys put out. And the success of Scare Directory has just skyrocketed very, very quickly. But I need to find out more about you. So have you always enjoyed scare attractions or scary stuff, ghost stories? Why when you sort of started covering stuff for Scare Directory, was it a passion of yours already?
So actually, it's a bit of a funny story. Like, I was quite a wimp when I first started sort of starting going into ghost trains, really. I remember my first ghost train, I went in, there was things dangling from the ceiling, and the fact that it even touched me just freaked me out, and I hated it. But as I kind of got older and, like, sleepovers, and you're watching horror films, and, like, you know, you start growing up, I then started to get a bit more curious again, and I went back in ghost trains, and, you know, they're fine. they are what they are. They're a bit fun. And then I went to Blackpool and I saw people running and screaming outside of Passage del Terra.
Yeah.
We're talking years ago now. I'd have been 16, so good 15 or so years ago. Mm-hmm. And seeing those people, the curiosity got the better of me. And then I eventually went through Passage. And I absolutely loved it. And at that point, I still got nervous before going into these scare attractions.
Of course.
I'd have that feeling of, I don't like being made to jump. I'm not comfortable with that, but I'm going to get through it because of the sense of achievement at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I did that for a few years, and then, you know, it grew and I started going into the more mainstream things. So I'd done Fright Nights many a time at Thorpe Park.
Yeah.
That's kind of like one of my local attractions. And I'd been to Halloween Horror Nights over in America.
I love Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic.
Phenomenal, isn't it?
I'm heading there again this year. So
it should
be brilliant. Yeah, who knows what it's going to be this year, but it was the 25th anniversary I went.
Wow,
and that was
great
absolutely
year.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So I went there, and then I kind of went a bit kind of quiet on the scare attraction thing. So my friends and family don't particularly like scare attractions.
Okay.
Not big fans. It takes a bit of persuading to get any friends to join me to go to any scare attractions.
Right.
And then I was in London. So I work in London quite regularly, and I was just walking through the tube and I saw a poster for Tully's.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I've seen those posters many a time. I never really thought about it. I'd never really visited because it's a bit of an awkward direction to go from Swindon to like just near Gatwick kind of way to get to Tully's. So I'd never really thought about going, and then I started doing some research, and I was like, and I found all, like, I found your podcast, and I found like Scare Tour, and then I started doing some research, and I was like, this is a really big industry, way bigger than I ever anticipated. And that was a couple of years ago now that I started sort of doing that sort of investigation kind of work. Mm-hmm. And after looking at various bits and pieces, like my background's a data analyst and I like technology. And I was like, I came from the view that, what, wouldn't it be great if there was like a database? And if this is really nerdy and really sad, but wouldn't it be cool if there is a database, like there is for roller coasters, if there's a database of every scare attraction? And it would go into the detail of scare attraction, and I had these mazes, and, you know, if I could be really, if, you know, you'd never get this information, but I'd like to know who acted in it and all those sort of things. Like, you'd never be able to get that kind of level of detail. That's, so I kind of scaled it back a bit.
Yeah.
And then I thought, okay, database, it's probably pushing it a bit. So what about a directory that you can start to sort of find it, a bit like TripAdvisor? How do you find these scares? So, like, as I say, I hadn't really heard about loads of them. I knew about a few, but I didn't know about how many there were in the UK. So I was like, okay, if we start a directory where, you know, you go to Google and someone types in things to do at Halloween, and a directory of scare attractions comes up, someone can stick their postcode in and then see what's near them. That's should be quite a great idea.
Yeah, definitely.
So I got playing around. I tried a few various different things. Lots of things failed before I launched it, things that didn't work. And then I settled on kind of a structure where you can just either search for an attraction or search for an event, sort of taking into account that events aren't just at Halloween.
Of course, yeah.
And some events don't necessarily have a fixed attraction as well. So you've got to separate the two.
Yeah, it's an evolving business, which makes your job even harder.
yeah, exactly. So I started gathering my evidence, building my own database of attractions. And so then I started listing them and then listing the up and coming events. And that was back in, 2019 was our first full year. Yeah, and so over Christmas of 2018, I built the thing. And I'd been to a few attractions. I'd been to a few of the festive attractions that year in 2018. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the thing. And reviews came second. Reviews were not the focus of the website at all.
Yeah, right. I see.
I wanted other people's review, and I still do. I want other people's opinions. I think my opinions are okay, but what's more important is the masses, the everyday person who visits these scare attractions.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
What do they think? And you get a few on Facebook, you get a few on Google, but you don't get them all in one place. And not every attraction has a load of reviews, or even some of them just don't even show up as like a particular venue in Google.
Of course, yeah, so, absolutely.
So the push of what I'd really like people to do is every time they go to an attraction, they just stick a few lines of what they thought and give it a 5-star, an out of 5-star rating.
Yeah. Like you say, just like a TripAdvisor for scare attractions.
Yeah, and that's really what the website was designed to be. Mm-hmm. It wasn't designed to be me and a team reviewing things. And the reviews kind of came because I wanted to, you know, I didn't want to fake reviews on the website. I wanted real reviews.
Of course.
So the idea was, we'll go out and visit these attractions and we'll start putting our own opinion in the bottom of our pages on our website. And so there's actually we haven't necessarily got every a review on our website listed underneath the attractions, which is a bit of work that we need to do now, that was the idea. Let's build our own content, let's create our own reviews, and, you know, over time we'll get more people filling the reviews out, and people have been. It's actually, people tend to find the reviews more useful than wanting to go on the website and put their own reviews on themselves.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Which, okay, fine. But I would like more people to put their reviews on, because I love hearing what people think of things, and I'd like it to be a resource that, say, an attraction could look at and go, oh, okay, we did this really well this year. Oh, that bit seemed to consistently get some kind of negative opinion.
Absolutely.
What could we change? What could we improve on next year? You know, we've all been to the attraction that's not necessarily hit hard like you'd expect it to.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'd like people to have that opinion, the ability to sort of put those viewpoints in a constructive way. You know, I'm not going to let people completely and utterly slate an attraction.
Of course.
And there is also the ability on the website, should an attraction want to be able to respond as well. So they could respond if they wanted to. And I haven't got that switched on, but they could just drop me an email and they could just easily get an account and respond to those individuals if they did want to cover something. We've not had anything overly negative, actually. The reviews have all been quite positive that have come in.
Perfect.
So really, that is the website.
Yeah, that sounds great, to be honest. And it's such a great way to find its origins of why you started it as well. I know you mentioned to me off air that you're actually quite a quiet, introvert person. It's not like you wanted to go to these events to review them to say, I'm the best reviewer here and blah, 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 blah. It was more so that the reviews came second from yourselves. And I guess that just works as a sort of a platform to show the people that you want to, over the years, start writing the reviews to sort of see the kind of stuff that you enjoyed. So give your opinion on it as well, please. That sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing about writing is writing is not my forte. I'm a numbers guy, and I partly see writing reviews as a kind of way to get better at writing myself.
Right.
Yeah, kind of a personal development piece, really. And it's about sort of how can I, you know, not just say, oh, it was good. I had a great time.
The man jumped out in the mask and I cried.
Yeah. How can I make something a bit more interesting to read and make it a kind of more of a story piece rather than just a kind of just a review piece?
Absolutely,
some of the, like the posts we've done, and I should mention at this point, it's not just me. I had help over the Halloween season of Stephen and Josie, who did a number of reviews for the website
There's a story there as well. I know, I don't know how you actually met Josie, but I do know how you met Stephen, which is a great little story to tell the listeners.
Yeah, it's quite a funny one, actually. So we both went to Scream Camp. So the first iteration of Scream Camp last year, we both turned up on our own. We told some of the cast of Scream Camp that we were on our own. They didn't believe us, and so they just shoved us into a tent together because we started talking like people on their own, sort of just, you know, you realize each other's alone and you start talking to each other. And
of course,
So we got shoved into a tent, and so we experienced that together and stayed in touch afterwards. And I saw that Stephen had written kind of like a short form review on his Facebook page, and I was like,
yeah,
I quite like your writing style. And, you know, that you've got some interesting thoughts. Do you want to, do you want to stick any reviews on our website? And I'd also seen at this point that he'd had quite a few trips planned as well over Halloween. And so at that point, we weren't joined up and we didn't have, we didn't know that each other was visiting, like, you know, 20, 30 attractions or however many it was. And it was at that point I realised, actually, this would be quite a useful, like, sort of, friendship and a useful kind of, you know, we can help each other out. And so that's really where that started. And you know, the rest is history, really, on that kind of front.
Yeah, definitely. It's such a good, it's such a cool sort of way to, like I said, I'm not going to say that go to Scream Camp to make new friends or anything, but it works so well in the fact that you both have these passions, and it made sense, like, you both visited these attractions alone and you have come away with kind of a business partner because it's organically fell that way, you know. It's quite a cool little way for it to come about.
Yeah, and I think, and it's a similar, it was not, you know, kind of thrown together for me and Josie in the sense that it was, so I've been friends with Josie for quite a few years and we never really talked about scare attractions. And then I just mentioned, it was actually some of the Faceless Ventures attractions that I'd been to. I think I'd just been to Cruelty. And I mentioned it to Josie and she just started asking a lot more questions about it and was really intrigued and quite liked that kind of different view of scare, you know, not your traditional attraction where you walk through and people are hiding in the darkness. She was more interested in the more theatrical side at that point. So I brought her along to a Faceless Ventures show and she really loved it and really enjoyed it and really enjoyed meeting the people there as well. And sort of realized that actually this is something for her. And that's kind of how Josie sort of came into the fold.
I remember that was one of Josie's earliest attractions, like Scare Kingdom, Psychomantium.
It was,
which is definitely thrown into the deep end. And then she did a game of hurting with Faceless Ventures.
Yes.
So you really just dropped her into the deep end with Scare Attractions.
Yeah, and that was, you know, I wouldn't say that's for everyone.
Of course.
And it was only because of, like, talking and understanding, like where everyone's line is where I'd kind of, and I'd say that's with anyone who talks to me. If anyone says to me kind of about an attraction, I'm like, so what do you like? You know, if someone says to me, oh, I don't particularly like being made to jump, I'd say, let's start easy.
Yeah. You don't want...
But then if someone's okay with stuff like that and has maybe experienced, like, you know, some of the mainstream ones, then I'm like, but there are these other things that sort of test you and challenge you in different ways. And so that's kind of where the conversation went, and which is why the slightly less standard, let's say, attractions.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like to use the word extreme because a lot of them aren't that extreme.
No, of course, no. More intense, I'll say. More intense rather than extreme.
That's a good word. I think Scream Camp's a good example. It's an intense attraction. It's the intrigue. It's the not knowing what's going to happen. That kind of intrigued Josie, and that's where Josie came on board. So yeah, it's a strange old story, but that's the kind of the history of how we all got to get involved in this community.
Yeah, and it's great, and you know, the community is so friendly and welcoming, and it's great to, you know, have other people give their love, not give their love, but show their passion and drive for the Scare community, obviously, with others. And the way you're doing it is very different to anyone else. Like I say, I have my podcast, Michael has ScareCon and ScareTour and whatnot. You have YouTubers, but you're trying to make something for the people, if that makes sense. So you're trying to give a platform, because anyone can do anything on Facebook and whatnot, but that's all a diluted social media ground. It's their home screen. It's not a specific place. And like you mentioned earlier on with Roller Coaster Database, where people can find out all this information just in a one stop shop on one website, find near enough every single roller coaster in the entire world. That's what you're building now for Scare Attractions in the UK. So it's a great way to, like you say, hopefully get people more involved in the industry and giving what they want, just so we can make this industry bigger than it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where kind of our direction is going to go this year a little bit. I'd like to put a lot more focus on sort of the history of some of these scare attractions.
Okay.
So at the moment, you look up a scare attraction on a website, and it will pretty much give you some information about the last year, the kind of stuff that they did there. What I'd like to be able to do is for every attraction, and this is where I'd like to sort of start reaching out to some of the attractions a bit more and sort of say, that can we work together and can we put like a sort of a kind of history of what you've been up to, where did it all start, and so that when someone looks at the attraction, the first thing they see is what's the latest and greatest thing that the attraction's doing, but what were its quiet beginnings? Was it just a home haunt, or was it did it start quite big from the beginning? I think that'd be quite interesting to personally, I'd find that interesting to read. Whether anyone else does is
I would, and there's definitely a market for that, because there are I'm going to call it different levels of geeks / enthusiasts / general public. There are the people who just want to go and see these and then forget about it the day after. There's people that want to see them and then read more about it. There's some people that want to know. It's a bit like roller coasters. Lots of people in my family would love to go on a roller coaster, and then that's about it. They might buy the photo. I want to know, when was that coaster built? Who designed it? Why is it here? What's it called? What's this reason? And then there's people that go further than me. How many bolts does it have? How many man hours did it have to build? And people have it with everything. They have it with roller coasters. They have it with theme parks. They have it with films. They have it with TV shows. People like to search. You know, I was a huge fan of Little Britain. So when Little Britain came out, I got all the radio shows, because it actually started on Radio 2. I don't know how I got from Scare Attractions to Little Britain, but there is that market out there, and there's people who are focused on that sort of stuff. So that's really exciting to see how Scare Directory can grow and people can find out more about the history. It's been cool to find out the history of Scare Directory so far. And bringing it back to what you mentioned earlier on in the interview, you started in near enough the exact same way as me and very similar to lots of other people who seem to have such a drive and passion for the industry. I was terrified of anything remotely scary until I was about 18, maybe 19. Like, and again, one of my first attractions was, I think Passage was like maybe my third attraction. And a lot of people who I interview on the podcast, it seems to be they either went through Saw Alive, Passage, or Scream at Madame Tussauds. And it's those three attractions that are to blame for lots of us enthusiasts in the community. But it's like a bug, isn't it? You can't quite put your finger on it. But like you say, Passage was your first attraction. And since then, there's just this little bug in your head that makes you want to do more and find out more and just be more of the community.
Yeah, and Passage will always have like sort of a soft spot in my Blackpool just generally. It was my first roller coaster, it was my first scare attraction. So Blackpool's got a real soft spot in my kind of heart. And I think part of it personally is I'm a bit of an adrenaline junkie at heart. I will try anything once and I will always like to try and push myself. So I there's nothing within the scare industry that I've been in that I'm like, I'm never doing that again. I haven't yet found that thing that's going to I've not found my line, and I'm a bit too curious not to keep on trying and trying to find where something will break me one day, and I'm not quite sure what it's going to be.
have you done Cracked yet? You did Cracked last year.
I haven't, but no. I am doing it this year.
That might be the thing that cracks you. It cracked me.
It might well be. And again, it's purely out of curiosity, and it may be for me, it may not be for me, I don't know. But until I try, I can't really comment.
Absolutely. We'll wait and see.
And I don't know what I'm going to experience, I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm glad I'm giving it a go.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the last one as well, it's the last Cracked. So it'd be good to go to the last one. I'm looking forward to see how you find it, because like, I did it, and out of the 6 hours, I lasted 4.5. I was like, that's enough for me.
Yeah, I'm intrigued what it is that breaks me. I can make some guesses, which I'm not going to say publicly.
Of course, because Blake is listening.
Exactly. So I'm going to keep quite quiet about some things. But I've got ideas of, based on what I've seen and heard from, like, little tidbits from people who've been through it, I can make some guesses as to what might break me. But I'm going to try my hardest, and we'll see. what happens.
Yeah, see what happens, definitely. Awesome. I mean, it's been great to chat about all about Scare Directory and how you started in attractions and how you've built and continue to build the directory. But let's talk just before we end this interview on a few of your highlights. What have you sort of stumbled across within Scare Attractions that's really either blown your mind, or you have great memories, or an attraction that you need to make sure you go to every year, you can't miss it because you love it so much? What are the highlights for yourself with Scare Directory?
Wow, where to start? That's quite a long list.
There's quite a few, yeah.
We did put together a blog post at the end of last year, and we really struggled to it was clear what was in the middle. It was really hard to work out what was at the top, because there were so many really strong contenders. And I think there's been so many different kinds of attraction. It's sometimes hard to say, one of the ones that I think is brilliant is Scream Camp. I thought it was I'd personally not experienced an overnight experience. And I thought they got the balance of kind of fun and scares really well.
Definitely. I agree with that.
And that's why I really enjoyed Scream Camp. But I wouldn't say that that's comparable to, say, a scare attraction, like a traditional maze.
No, definitely. Yeah.
Very different thing. So like when it comes to scare mazes, there's so many good ones last year, and it's really hard. One that always stands out to me, and it's partly because of the clear love and passion of the people who run it, is Scream Factory.
Right. Yeah, I've never got a chance to go, but it is on the list, definitely.
Yeah, it's very far, and it's very north, but there's just something about it that there's something that it's the whole package that I think is just great. It's a fun evening out. And it's a really good setup. And I think it's like from when I first went there to where it is now, it's clearly improved greatly. And I'm just really intrigued what there is to come in the future. But saying that, I also enjoyed like some of the, like, I thought Creek Freak Massacre this year was incredible. Mm. And I had an absolutely fantastic time in there. And I think it's worth saying Creepy Caves. The After Dark one.
Was I heard some amazing stuff about Creepy Caves After Dark.
Every actor on there was on point. I couldn't fault them in any way. They the humour was spot on, and I think that's key for me. Is I think you can be as scary as you want as long as you throw in some humour as well.
Yeah,
it's that comic relief between scares, and they Definitely. Did that really well. You have so much funny. So many funny sort of sections up until like it all went wrong and everything just all chaos ensued. It was absolutely fantastic, and so I think that's worth mentioning. Is like, and it's in a park that I didn't expect it.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Chessington, a very family friendly style park.
Yeah, and it wasn't, you know, it's not an extreme attraction. It was just intense.
Yeah.
It was just like they turned it up to 11, and it was fantastic. So I think they're the big shout outs. And I'd probably also worth mentioning the Halloween event that Scream Camp did as well.
The ritual.
It was a very different kind of event.
Absolutely.
Very thought provoking. Yeah. And I, to this day, still think about scenes in that. And
yeah, me too.
It was interesting, and it was very clever, and it was relevant, and it that kind of deserves to live in a separate category, because there was nothing else I went to last year that kind of really compared.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. It was something, rather than like a scare experience, I described it more of a just an immersive theatrical production that had a few scares. You know, it was. It was, I would say, beautifully executed, the ritual. A very, very different to Scream Camp. But, it's something that if you tried to describe it to your friends, they'd look at you and say, I think you need to be sectioned. But, you know, the select few of us that just get that sort of stuff, it's something that, if I wasn't in the industry, you wouldn't know what to make of it, I think. But it is something that was really for the fans, for the enthusiasts. And, yeah, like you say, it's in its own different category, Scream Camp, The Ritual.
Yeah, it very much fits, I think. I see it almost falling into that more immersive theatre, and wouldn't be strange in a kind of fringe-type setting.
Definitely.
It was a different thing altogether, and I quite enjoy kind of weird, wacky theatre stuff as well. So I enjoyed it from that aspect as well, and it was really really enjoyable. Definitely. Well, enjoyable is the wrong word. It was an experience, and one I'm glad I did.
Yes, I'd agree with you there. Absolutely. I 100% agree with you, especially with Scream Camp, The Ritual. Absolutely awesome. I'm gutted I couldn't make it. A few of your highlights there. Couldn't make Creepy Craves and whatnot. But they're on the list for next year. The problem I find, and you get about this by doing multiple events in one night. I remember seeing you last year going, how the hell are you here now when I saw you on Facebook there an hour ago? Like, have you got a TARDIS? What is happening? You guys really do cram in the events. And last year you really came on the scene kicking and screaming. Everyone knows, you know, Scare Directory mean business. And they're here, and they're doing a great job. I'm a huge fan of the website, and I'm very glad that you're here on the scene, and that everyone's welcomed you as well with open arms. As we're wrapping up now, what's next for Scare Directory? Have you got your next event planned?
The next event is Cracked.
Right. Oh, okay.
It's going to be that's the next one. And then it's the intern after that.
Awesome.
Which we did at Christmas as well. And that was very interesting and quite different as well. So I'm intrigued what happens at the next version of the intern.
Awesome.
As well.
Yeah, I'll be there for intern, May 30th. I'll be there. I think there's only a couple of tickets left, so people go and check that out. But, I mean, Ashley, thank you so much for coming on to the Scare Trap podcast. I really, really do appreciate it. And if anyone's listening to the podcast, I'd put money on that they already know who you are and what Scare Directory is. But if anyone's listening, if they're not too sure, we've got a few listeners in Germany and in the States, how is the best way to contact yourselves on social media with Scare Directory, and what's your website?
Yeah, so social media is Scare Directory, or that's on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We're mainly active on Instagram, in all honesty. But we're on all three. The website's www.scaredirectory.co.uk. And also if there's an attraction listening to this as well, and you want to get in touch about any information you'd like listed about your attraction, if you've got any new things coming up that you'd like us to sort of talk about or show, then I can be contacted, ashley@scaredirectory.co.uk.
Perfect. There we go. Awesome. So, guys, there's no excuse to be liking, commenting, sharing, joining them on social media and checking out the website throughout the year, especially in the 2020 Halloween season, where I'm sure there'll be loads of updates. Ashley, thank you so much for coming on to the Scare Trap podcast. I look forward to seeing you at the intern with Faceless Ventures in May. I'm sure I'll see you at ScareCon 2, maybe?
Yeah, definitely. I'll be there. Can't miss it after last year. It was brilliant.
Absolutely. I'll see you at ScareCon as well. Again, thanks so much for coming on, and we'll chat to you soon.
Cheers. Bye. You're listening to Scare
So there we go, guys. A huge thank you to Ashley Moore for coming on to the Scare Trap podcast, talking all about Scare Directory. Make sure you go check it out now as well, guys. www.scaredirectory.co.uk. It's got loads of different stuff from scare attractions, educational stuff, escape rooms, loads of stuff on there. And he really is, over time, just building an awesome collection of scare attraction reviews, but also information about each attraction. You can find out where they are and what they're doing. Really, really awesome website, and I can just see it getting bigger and better over the years. So that almost brings us to the end of the Scare Trap podcast, but before I go, like I say on every podcast, be sure to be joining us over on our social media channels. We are on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search for Scare Trap. Of course, we have all our content over on our YouTube channel as well. Go over to youtube.com/ScareTrack. You can check out our movie reviews, our coaster track vlogs, our new beer break series, and our scare cam as well. So loads of stuff over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/scaretrack. Click that subscribe button and that bell notification so you are notified as soon as we release a new video. Of course, you can find everything Scare Trap related over on our website, www.scaretrack.co.uk, where you can see all our video stuff and all our podcast stuff as well. We have our merchandise on there too, and we love how many of you guys have got some merchandise. As soon as you get a t-shirt or a hat or a hoodie, be sure to take a photo, send it in to us, and we'll feature it on our Instagram page. So that brings us to the end of this episode of the Scare Trap podcast. A huge thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye, guys. We'll be right back.